Got a sprain or an itch.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. You and I hear the word diet everywhere we go, from our friends to the rich and famous, touting their particular diet on the TV, on the radio, and even on the internet.
Thousands of diets. Some are for losing weight, while others are for gaining weight, lowering cholesterol, living a long and healthy life, and many other reasons.
So we're going to use the term diet to mean a fixed plan of eating and drinking, where the type and amount of food are planned out in order to achieve weight loss, or just to follow a particular lifestyle. We're going to start with the letter A and describe the Atkins diet. Now, other than alphabetical, there's no reason that I'm starting with the letter A. I have a tendency to use the internet for a lot of things, including the search for things that help me with some of our hobbies. For example, I enjoy carpentry, so I'm always looking in browsers for articles on the better things, such as the best circular saw, the best carpentry level, the best way to cut dados into wood, etc., etc.
The major problem, of course, is that tricky word, best. Is it the best because the person categorizing it as such gets a financial gain if he or she can convince you to buy into their product?
This has become so commonplace that it's hard to find a true website that's free of at least some bias on the products that they promote. And of course, don't be so accepting if they say, by the way, I have nothing to gain with this review. I'm not affiliated with the product or the manufacturer of the product.
Somehow, somewhere, they may still be deriving some benefit from their review of a particular item.
And that's the same with diets. Before we get to the Atkins diet, I want to mention one diet that I saw when I was just browsing the internet one more time. It's touting itself as a type of apple cider diet. The headline is, Student from Cornell University Cuts 37 Pounds on University Budget. Here they tell you about a Cornell student who was able to drop 37 pounds on a diet that she purportedly studied for a university project. She started by telling everyone that she had struggled with her weight her whole life and had even tried things like Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig.
It is now far down the first paragraphs that you come to a section that states that she used apple cider vinegar and something called keto lean.
Now, I know what apple cider vinegar is, and I also know that many people do use it in certain diets. But I had never heard of keto lean, and neither did Carmen, at least not until I clicked the conveniently located link on the page, which brought us to someone's webpage for a product whose name is, imagine this, Keto Lean. Now, believe me, I am in no way placing any disdain on the product itself. Heck, this is the first time that I've heard of it. But the sneaky way of placing it in a supposed informational piece with an actual university study of it was, at least to me, suspicious.
We may get back to this in a few moments, if there is time, but again, I would like to start within the Atkins diet, which focuses on controlling the levels of insulin in the body through a low-carbohydrate diet.
Remember that carbohydrates are the sugars, starches, and fibers found in fruits, grains, vegetables, and milky products. They are one of the basic food groups and, of course, important to a healthy life. They are considered what's called macronutrients, which means that they are one of the three main ways the body obtains energy, or calories.
If people consume large amounts of refined carbohydrates, their insulin levels rise and fall rapidly. Rising insulin levels trigger the body to store energy from the food that is consumed, making it less likely that the body will use stored fat as a source of energy.
Therefore, people on the Atkins diet avoid carbohydrates, but can eat as much protein and fat as they like. Although popular for some time, the Atkins diet comes with certain risks, which we'll talk about in a moment.
The Atkins diet is a popular low-carbohydrate eating plan developed in the 1960s by cardiologist Robert C. Atkins. The Atkins diet restricts carbs, carbohydrates, while emphasizing protein and fats.
In this particular diet, there are several phases for weight loss and maintenance, starting with a very low carbohydrate eating plan. The Atkins diet, formerly called the Atkins Nutritional Approach, has been detailed in many books and is credited with launching the low-carb diet trend. Let's start with the reasons that you might want to start an Atkins diet. You might choose to follow the Atkins diet because you, well, enjoy the types and amounts of foods that are featured in the diet. Or you want a diet that restricts certain carbs to help you lose weight. You may have medical concerns that you think the diet can help improve. And you may even like the related Atkins diet products, such as cookbooks, shakes, and bars.
The main dietary focus of the Atkins diet is eating the right balance of carbohydrates, protein, and fats for optimal weight loss and health.
According to the Atkins diet, obesity and related health problems, such as type 2 diabetes and heart disease, are the fault of the typical low-fat, high-carbohydrate American diet. Atkins dieters say that you don't need to avoid fatty cuts of meat or trim off excess fat. Rather, controlling carbs is what's really important.
The premise here is that eating too many carbohydrates, especially sugar, white flour, and other refined carbs, leads to blood sugar imbalances, weight gain, and cardiovascular problems.
So the Atkins diet restricts carbohydrates and encourages eating more protein and fat. However, the Atkins diet still claims that it is not a high-protein diet.
This diet has continued to evolve and now encourages eating more high-fiber vegetables so that it accommodates vegetarian and vegan needs and addresses health problems that may arise when beginning a low-carb diet.
A lot of people like the Atkins diet because there's no calorie counting or portion control.
In fact, you do not need to track carbs. However, it does use a system called net carbs, which is the total carbohydrate content of an item minus its fiber content.
Let's say that you eat a half cup of raw broccoli. That would give you 2.3 grams of total carbs and 1.3 grams of fiber, putting its net carb value at 1 gram. The Atkins diet says its approach to carbs will burn off your body's fat stores, regulate your blood sugar, and help you achieve optimal health, while not leaving you feeling hungry or deprived. The Atkins diet claims exercise isn't vital for weight loss. But you know, in my own experience, and in the experience of my listeners and patients who have been exercising or non-exercising, the weight loss is either fleeting or in the long term minimal if exercise isn't included. If you'd like to learn more about the various phases of the Atkins diet, you can look that up on the internet, so we'll not spend much time on it here.
But a quick look at a typical day's diet on phase one includes a breakfast of scrambled eggs with sauteed onions and cheddar cheese, along with diet soda, coffee, tea, or water. Lunch would include a chef salad with chicken, bacon, and avocado dressing, along with an allowable beverage, while you would end the day with a dinner of baked salmon steak, asparagus, and arugula salad with cherry tomatoes and cucumbers, along with an allowable drink.
You could even include two snacks a day, such as an Atkins diet product. For example, their chocolate shakes or their granola bars, or simple snacks such as celery and cheddar cheese. Now, most people can lose weight on almost any diet plan that restricts calories, at least in the short term. Over the long term, though, studies show that low-carb diets, like the Atkins diet, are no more effective for weight loss than our standard weight loss diets, and that most people regain their weight that they lost regardless of the diet plan.
The truth is that because carbohydrates usually provide over half of calories consumed, the main reason for weight loss on the Atkins diet is lower overall calorie intake from eating less carbs.
Are there health benefits to the Atkins diet? Sure there are. Just like many other low-calorie diets, the Atkins diet says that its eating plan can prevent or improve serious health conditions, such as metabolic syndrome, which we've talked about before, diabetes, high blood pressure, and cardiovascular disease. Let's have a reality moment. Almost any diet that helps you shed excess weight can reduce or even reverse many of the risk factors for cardiovascular disease as well as diabetes.
And most weight loss diets, not just low-carb diets, may improve blood cholesterol or blood sugar levels, at least temporarily.
Well, now I'm afraid we have to get to the risks. The Atkins diet acknowledges that drastically cutting carbs in the early phase of the program can result in some side effects, and these include headaches, dizziness, weakness, fatigue, and even constipation.
It is also possible that restricting carbohydrates to less than 20 grams a day, that is the level recommended for phase one of the diet, can result in ketosis, which occurs when you don't have enough sugar for energy. So your body breaks down stored fat, causing ketones to build up in your body.
Side effects from ketosis can include nausea, headache, mental fatigue, and even bad breath. Also remember that there are certain medical problems that pose additional risks to the patient who tries the Atkins diet. In other words, if you take diuretics, insulin, or oral diabetes medications, you should probably stay away from the Atkins diet.
In addition, people with severe kidney disease should not follow the diet, and the weight loss phases of the diet aren't suitable for women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
I was going to go directly to the letter Z and do the Zone diet next, but one of our patients asked me to review the ketogenic diet. So that's what we're going to do in just a moment. This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. Carmen and I have been reviewing some of the more famous diets that are around today. We did the Atkins diet, and we promised that we would now do the ketogenic diet.
The ketogenic diet has actually been used for decades as a treatment for epilepsy, and it's also being explored for other uses. It involves reducing carbohydrate intake and upping fat intake.
It sounds contrary to common sense, but it allows the body to burn fat as a fuel rather than carbohydrates. Healthy fats, such as those in avocados, coconuts, Brazil nuts, seeds, oily fish, and olive oil, are liberally added to the diet to maintain an overall emphasis on fat.
The diet causes the breakdown of fat deposits for fuel and creates substances called ketones through a process called ketosis.
Just as we said a few moments ago, when talking about the Atkins diet, this diet also has risks, including ketoacidosis, for people with type 1 diabetes, however, and may result in diabetic coma and death.
Let's start with the definition of the word keto. The keto in a ketogenic diet comes from the fact that it allows the body to produce small fuel molecules called ketones.
This is an alternative fuel source for the body, used when blood sugar, we know it as glucose, is in short supply. Ketones are produced if you eat very few carbs. They're quickly broken down into the blood sugars and only moderate amounts of protein. Excess protein can also be converted to blood sugar.
The liver produces ketones from fat. These ketones then serve as a fuel source throughout the body, especially for the brain. The brain consumes lots of energy every day, and it can't run on fat directly. It can only run on glucose or ketones.
On a ketogenic diet, your entire body switches its fuel supply to run mostly on fat, burning fat 24/7. When insulin levels become very low, fat burning can increase dramatically. It becomes easier to assess your fat stores to burn them off. Now, this is great if you're trying to lose weight, but there are also other less obvious benefits, such as less hunger and a steady supply of energy. Now, this may actually help you keep alert and focused. When the body produces ketones, it enters a metabolic state that's called ketosis. The fastest way to get there is by fasting, that is, not eating anything. But nobody can fast forever.
A keto diet, on the other hand, can be eaten indefinitely and also results in ketosis. It has many other benefits of fasting, including weight loss, without having to fast.
At least, that is what the proponents of the keto diet say. According to Mayo Clinic's website, they ask the question whether skipping meals is a bad idea or a secret weight loss weapon. Should you eat low fat or high fat? You probably could eat less added sugar, so should you eliminate it completely? In this diet, for a period of 30 days, no sugar, no alcohol, grains, legumes, dairy, or treats in general are allowed.
What can you eat in this period? Well, moderate amounts of meat, seafood, and eggs. You can eat as much vegetables as you want, but you have to cut down on some fruits and natural fats, such as nuts and avocado.
According to the proponents of the ketogenic diet, a reboot for your eating habits and your cravings is what occurs. Plus, the founders say that eliminating these food groups may help with a number of ailments they blame on food sensitivities, such as skin problems, digestive issues, low energy, and chronic pain. A lot of people like the strict black and white list of rules stating when you can and can't eat. Makes it easier to follow, well, at least for the first 30 days.
Plus, the growing popularity makes recipes and meal plans easy to find. Cutting out snacks and processed foods such as chips and crackers is part of the plan.
There are downsides, though. Even with all internet stories and supposed research done, there's no scientific evidence of health benefits, particularly in the long term. Most people simply return to their previous eating habits after completing the challenge. The problem is that not only does it cut out foods that most Americans should eat less of, like the added sugars, but it also eliminates healthy foods, including whole grains, dairy, and legumes.
Remember that this is a high-fat, very low-carbohydrate diet, which typically means eating fewer than 50 grams of carbs a day. That's less than a total of 4 slices of bread's worth.
Even though this diet is safe for most people, there are some who should, well, not try it. These include those who take medications for diabetes, those who take medication for high blood pressure, and women breastfeeding. What foods are allowed on keto diets? Natural fats such as butter, olive oil, meats and seafood, eggs, cheese, and vegetables, at least those vegetables that grow above ground.
The most important thing we are told in order to reach ketosis is to avoid eating too many carbs.
You'll probably need to keep carb intake under 50 grams per day of net carbs, ideally below 20 grams. The fewer carbs, the more effective it appears to be for reaching ketosis, losing weight, or reversing type 2 diabetes. But here's what you should avoid on a keto diet. These include carb foods containing a lot of sugar and starch, such as bread, pasta, rice, and potatoes. These foods are very high carbs. Oh my God, I'd have to quit eating my spaghetti and my baked and mashed potatoes that I like so much. You would also have to stop rice, fruit, beer, soda,
juice and candy.
This means that on a keto diet, you will basically need to avoid sugary foods completely, as well as starchy foods like bread, pasta, rice, and potatoes. Also avoid processed foods and instead follow keto diet advice.
Furthermore, the food should primarily be high in fat and only moderately high in protein, as excess protein can be converted to blood sugar in the body. Also, avoid low-fat diet products.
A really rough guideline is about 5% energy from carbohydrates. The fewer carbs, the more effective. 15 to 25% from protein and around 75% from fat.
What can you drink? Of course, low-carb drinks. The perfect keto drink? Water. Coffee or tea are fine too. Ideally, use no sweeteners, especially not sugar. A small amount of milk or cream in your coffee or tea is okay. And according to some, an occasional glass of wine is fine too.
Proponents of the keto diet say eat enough fat to feel satisfied and no more. Of course, the proponents of virtually all diets say the same thing.
Now you may be thinking, isn't this akin to almost starvation? Well, yes it is. With the only difference being that a keto diet may be sustainable, whereas, obviously, starvation isn't. The keto diet proponents almost always add that infamous catchphrase, add exercise. Of course, you need to sleep enough as well. For most people, at least 7 hours per night on average, and keep your stress under control.
You may ask yourself, how do I know when I am in ketosis? It's actually possible to measure it by testing urine, blood, or breath samples. But there are also telltale symptoms that require no testing, such as dry mouth, thirst, and frequent urination.
I think I mentioned keto breath. This is due to a ketone body called acetone that escapes via our breath. It can make a person's breath smell fruity or similar to nail polish remover. This smell can sometimes also be felt from sweat when working out. It's often temporary.
You may also find that you have reduced hunger and hopefully increased energy. After a few days of feeling tired, sometimes called the keto flu, many people experience a clear increase in energy level.
You know, I just got tapped on my shoulder and it looks like we are out of time. So we'll continue this on next week's show and complete our expose, if you want to call it, on the diets that we see daily on the radio, TV, and on the internet. I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc Show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.